Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight to continue with our discussion of the Word of God. So, and the last time we were together, we were talking about the fact that Christ, we got to learn how to walk in what Christ has already done at Calvary. So, we have to apply truth to our lives. This is what the salvation experience is all about. It's a one-on-one encounter. If each of us allow the Spirit of God to work in us and we allow Him to address the areas of our heart and lives through the Word of God, we will all be changed and we will all mature in the faith. And so it says, strong meat is for those who, by reason of use, have exercised. See, we got to exercise our faith. We got to put into practice that which we learn, which we study, which we come to know and study and talk about each week. We have to put it into practice. God's going to give us ample opportunity to apply truth to our lives. And so there's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose. We have to allow Christ to address our hearts, because if we don't, we're going to see in John chapter 8 again, we were there before, but we're going to see where Christ had an encounter with Jews who believed on Him. Now, to believe on Him, that's just the initial stage. That's the initial point. But it's just the position. God puts us in the position where we're qualified to be worked upon. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. And so it's very important where you go, what you do, that next step. Because if you are brought into teaching and error or information or ministry that just points you to works and religious activities, and you attach God's name with it, you will associate God with religious works, religious activities, and never have an encounter where the Spirit of God is able to grow you up and change you. Now remember, as children have a mindset where it's set on themselves, it's set on, they're not able to comprehend certain things. So it's important that children mature and grow up properly. This is why the enemy affects or attacks children at a young age. He wants to plant a seed to get them to grow not according to the right way. See what I'm saying? He wants them to be retarded, or mentally or spiritually retarded. He doesn't want them to grow properly. So it's the same thing spiritually. If the enemy is going to attack us, he's going to attack you as a babe, as a child, because that's where a seed is planted. So being trained, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. Meaning that the training is what seeds are being planted in the heart and lives of those children as a child. And based upon that child has to has the responsibility to take the word, the seed that was planted, and grow, apply it. Trial and error, fail, get back up, and then they're able to eventually walk, right? It's the same thing with you and I. But if I've been taught wrong, and this is why preachers, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, they are gifts, but the gifts are to point the believers to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because Christ said if He be lifted up, He would do the drawing. And no man can come to the Father unless He draws him. The only way a person can be drawn is through the message, the right message. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. Okay, so let's start in Acts 8, and we'll make our way there, chapter 5. We were looking at Philip, and this was after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the church, or the apostles and disciples were baptized, and they were given the power to go out and preach the gospel, and lives were changed. Everywhere that they encountered went into different areas, and truth was exposed, or people encountered truth, hearts and lives were changed. People were ready. Thousands were joined into the church because they were receptive of the gospel. Okay? So here, Philip is in Samaria, the city of Samaria. Let's start at verse 5.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city.
All right. So they're in the city of Samaria, and here Philip is, you have signs and wonders, and the people receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they receive it with signs and wonders, okay? So he names his miracles and unclean spirits coming out and people crying with loud voices and that were possessed and the lame walk and people were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So when the message, note says, when the message of the cross is of Christ is accepted, it always brings great joy. You and I, as we develop and are changed into the image of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where you are, where you're placed, you should bring great joy through the message that you preach and you stand on and represent. It can be an office that's chaotic. I don't care. This is where God specializes, in chaotic and places where there's a lot of confusion or what have you. When the gospel shows up in that city, hearts should be ready to receive the truth and allow God to cleanse the hearts. Amen?
Amen.
So let's see what happened. Here's a city where there was no gospel. So much gospel, much freedom. Little gospel, little freedom. No gospel, no freedom. Okay? So there was no gospel there. And when the gospel showed up, there was great joy in that city. Verse 9.
But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries.
Okay. Now notice here it says that this man Simon, he used sorcery, right? And this was the rites of the art of the Magi. And all of this was of Satan. And so notice it, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Now, this word bewitch is very interesting, because it's the same word that Paul used when he was dealing with the Galatians over in the book of Galatians. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at this word, now notice he was using sorcery to bewitch. Bewitch is just simply the fascination of an evil eye or some malignant influence akin to it. So it's the infatuation of the Galatians. It says the infatuation of the Galatians is attributed to the baneful effect of some mysterious power of evil. That was with the Galatians. So here, these people were not Christians, but they were allured by some type of sorcery, some type of magic, some type of fascination, same thing that was used in the Garden of Eden. A serpent talking approaches the woman, you see, and she's fascinated by it.
Right.
And soon as this thing, she's so fascinated by it that it takes her focus and attention away from the Word of God.
Yes.
It's a charm. Say, it's something that causes you to let down your guards and your awareness of the Word of God. Satan's doing the same scheme today. He uses a malignant influence, an evil influence, an evil eye, something to fascinate us by the eye. And this is why we have to be very careful when we're listening to news and Hollywood and these people, because they're trying to fascinate. They're trying to use their charisma. Even the preachers behind pulpits, who we are infatuated. We got this infatuation with people, and I want this, and it's an evil eye. It's an influence that's used to pull us away from truth.
Right.
So in this case, Simon the sorcerer, he was the stronghold within this city that kept them away from truth. There was nobody. See, Satan can build a stronghold. He's a strong man. But it takes one stronger than Satan.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And so if we're all not being changed and transformed to the image of Christ, I can be in a city and yet not show up to overtake the strong man of that city. You see what I'm saying? So this is why it's important that you and I allow Christ to deal with us in our hearts as Christians, because otherwise Satan will set up his throne in a city or in people's hearts, and we will cuddle up with it, and we will tolerate it. This is why the spirit of LGBT and all this stuff, this transgenderism, Satan has built a stronghold in some areas. In this nation, in some states and cities and what have you. And God needs the spirit. He needs the message of the cross to be proclaimed and explained to people's heart, so we can stop being infatuated with, you know, all this and mesmerized by these leaders and these people. See, we have to stand on the truth. Look past the people, see what the people support and stand for, and then you will be able to affect that city. That makes sense? So this power, this evil influence, you and I have to be very careful, because even in the church world, there is an influence that's based upon wrong doctrine. There is an influence that's based upon stuff that's just not supportive of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it lures us away, and you won't even realize you're supporting it, because remember, it's an infatuation. It's a power, a stronghold, that this power that has a sway over you that pulls you away, and you don't even really realize it.
Amen.
So here, this man, Simon the sorcerer, he has this power, and most of the people in this city thought this was the power of God. It said here, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So they attributed his magic and stunts to being done by the power of God, when in reality it was of Satan. So it says, much in the modern church, which claims to be the power of God, falls into the same category. And I told y'all last time that there was this prophet, this young boy that was going around, and he was quoting the scriptures, and he was singing. He had the voice to sing. People were carried away. He was very persuasive, and it was very hard to know what spirit he was of. Until time passed, and he got exposed. Okay?
Amen.
So if you know truth and you're growing and maturing in truth and allowing God to deal with your own heart. See, there's some stuff in our heart that blinds us. If I refuse to change, if I refuse to let God deal with me on some issues, and I get mad and upset, because, see, God uses the tribulations and the trials to reveal there's something in you that needs to be addressed. And the longer I refuse to allow God to deal with it, eventually God has to deal with it in the open, where there's shame before people. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
A lot of people, God, he tried to deal with in the secret place. But a refusal to change will eventually, God says, I give you over to a spirit of blindness, judicial blindness. You will walk in error, and everybody, those that are spiritual, will see it. They'll see the nakedness. They'll see you spiritually, the shortcomings, because you refuse to let God deal with your heart.
Right.
Amen. You'll think you're okay, but everybody else can see it. They may not say nothing, but they see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, and to him they had, verse 11, regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. Now, with this word bewitch, again, it says it refers to the fact that the person or persons are deprived of the ability to think or order their thoughts correctly. This is what bewitching, this is what the spirit of bewitching does. It causes you, it paralyzes you, it stops you from looking at the word of God with reason. When God told Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan comes through a serpent. Why did he use the serpent? Because the serpent had the ability to talk. Mm-hmm. He used this thing that fascinated her, and then he appealed to her flesh. He made her, she became, she went from God consciousness to self consciousness. This is what Satan does. He will get you to focus on self. So in your lack, he told Job, he told God pretty much, you said Job is a righteous man, but Job only served you because of the blessings. If you take everything away from him, he'll curse you. See? And God said, I'll let the hedges down and I'll show you. See, sometimes in the time of darkness, we don't know what's going on. This is why it's very important that you not let your ear be in tune with people during that time of confusion and not knowing. And you have to seek the Lord, because you don't know what God is trying to do and trying to reveal in the heart and life. So here Satan asks God, he's like, hey, he's going to curse you. Eventually, God will give us the insight and the wisdom, but you and I have to learn to let tribulation work patience.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Patience will give you the constancy to stand under the weight of the trial until God produces tried and approved character. And this tried and approved character will bring about hope. And hope will make him not ashamed.
Amen.
See that? And so this spirit of bewitching, it caused Eve to not think properly according to the word, but she took the word and Satan negated and added to God's word. She added to the word to get it to fit what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? This is why it's this. That's called bewitching. It's an evil influence that comes upon you and I, and it happens to the best of the best, whoever that might be. If we're not careful, if we keep our focus, if we don't keep our focus on the cross, looking to Jesus, laying aside every weight and sin that easily beset us, and run this race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, means you're going to have to look away from everything that distracts and look to Jesus.
Amen.
So the things that's happening in this world today, we see so much going on. Those things are there to distract.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our time of lack, God, Satan says, surely they'll curse you, God, because they're only blessing you and praising you because of the good. But we have so much to be thankful for in the midst of all that we're facing today. Amen?
Amen.
We have so much to be appreciative for, even in the midst. This is why you can't let this spirit that's running rampant with trying to bring racism before our face day in and day out. Everything is racist. That is a planned effort by the enemy. He has access to all of us. And what does he want to do? Take us back to self-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is racist now.
Yep.
They even said Pepe Le Pew.
Yep. Pepe.
They've been attacked. Who all these things we grew up with, anything, nothing about being. Yes, Dr. Seuss is racist. Everything. But the stuff that's truly offensive or racist, they don't deal with. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're distracting us to keep us focused on self and a spirit of victimhood. And then what happens? You're looking to these people to fix it. See what I'm saying? We look to the government to fix it. And the government brings in laws and rules, but what are they doing? They're restricting the law-abiding citizens. And what happens? Instead of us looking to the Lord, what happened to them when Pharaoh start making things harder on the children of Israel? They start crying to Pharaoh instead of crying to the Lord. See that? So as Moses went in and said, let my people go, the enemy, Pharaoh, made it harder. And instead of the people running to God, they ran to Pharaoh. And when they went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, get your own straw now.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying? The enemy, we can't run to him. We run to our rock that's higher than I.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So we have to run to him. So here, these people regarded Simon the sorcerer as somebody who was a great man of God. But let's see what happens. Now, he calls them not to use the powers, the ability to think. And that's what's happening today. They're disarming us and reasoning. Stuff that's just common sense, we're just falling for it, and we're not thinking. We're not using the word of God. We're not realizing where we came from. See what I'm saying? So we're thinking things are like they were back in the 60s or slavery. They got us so caught up in this stuff. But if we use our powers to think, we'll be like, wait a minute. Things ain't nowhere near. And see, I didn't experience that in the 60s or what have you. But some of y'all have. And if you look at today and look at back then, can you say that we're still where we're at back then?
Nope, we're not where we were back then.
Right. So the enemy wants us to think. See, he's trying to take or capture our ability to think or to order our thoughts. Why? So he can capture our emotions and use us. Use us to, what did he do with Eve? He used her to bring about the fall so that he could have dominion. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He used Eve, tricked her, made her think that she could have something, wisdom, apart from God, and then he got her emotions, and her emotions and the deception caused him to use or usher in his motives, the fall. And now Satan has dominion over all of mankind who are not in Christ.
Yes.
Let's keep going, Sister Cherry.
But 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done.
Now notice here, the people believe when Philip came preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So they encounter a power which was greater than the powers of darkness. You and I have a power source in us that's much greater. And it's all through the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation, there is no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So men and women were saved and baptized. And even Simon himself was baptized.
Yes, amen.
See this? Now, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 3.
We're talking about being the weak. Okay.
Galatians chapter 3. Now we're dealing with Christians. There we were dealing with sinners, a city who had not experienced the power of God. In Galatians, we're dealing with some Christians who were converted, sinners who were converted in the city of Galatia. And so Paul here, he's preached the cross to them. They gave their lives to Christ, but this same bewitching is taking place. Okay? Let's start at verse 1.
O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you?
Now, it's the same thing. This He called them foolish. Why? He called them foolish because there was a failure to use their powers of perception. They didn't think. They were disarmed in their thinking. They couldn't order their thinking properly. Why? Because someone in a malignant or evil influence came along, same way it came along with Eve, and stopped them from what? That you should not obey the truth. This is the purpose of the bewitching. This same spirit is in the world today. This same spirit has disarmed a lot of well-meaning Christians. It has caused us to side with the world. It has caused us to cease from operating by the Spirit of God. It has caused us to stop relying on the cross of Christ. And we've gotten comfortable with church and religious activities and just having a title Christian. So he says, O foolish Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You see that? The word, it says, it is an expression of surprise mingled with indignation. So the situation in Galatia, so you remember, it says here, and let me get to the meat of the matter. It says, the people of the province of Galatia are those who have shaken off the benumbing and degrading influence of the native magic and superstition. So in that city, just like with Philip and Samaria, they were under the influence of magic and superstition. But when they had an encounter with Paul preaching the message of the cross, they threw that stuff up. They shook it off or threw it aside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it says, they are those who judge for themselves as to the real values in life and lay claim to insight and wisdom. So they threw aside the native magic and the superstition. And now that they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, they learned to judge for themselves the real values in life.
Amen.
And the real insight which comes through the cross. So Paul says, Paul accuses them with failing to use that insight and wisdom that came from the Spirit, because they put their faith in the cross, that appreciation of the better things when he uses the Greek word translated foolish. So the word denotes the stupidity that arises from deadness and impotence of intellect. God doesn't want us to just walk around, I'm a Christian, and there's no intellect. There's no spiritual understanding. He said, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So these doctrines and churches that tell you just name stuff and claim it, that's foolishness because you're impotent of intellect. And the word impotent means you lack power, a lack of power, a lack of strength, a lack of vigor, and it is a weakness. So you're now helpless. This is where Satan wants you. And I. Helpless. So you just say, okay, I'm just going to believe God, and it's just going to magically change. No. God says, work out what I've worked in.
Wow.
He says, work out your own salvation. So if there is a problem, you and I just can't just blindly say, well, God will fix it. No. You and I have to walk this thing by faith, seek the Lord, and as he lead. David said when they came and they burned, the enemy came and burned down Ziklag and took the women and the children and did all kind of stuff, and the men were gone. When they came back, he had to inquire. Now, he could have just went and ran and did something when he wanted to, how he wanted, but he couldn't just act out of his own strength. He had to seek God, and he said, should I recover all? And the Lord said, recover all. See what I'm saying? You and I have to seek God step by step on what to do. There were times when they thought they could go up and take the enemy, and the Lord said, no, don't go. Go over there by the mulberry trees. Send half your men here or there. Joshua, don't go in and attack Jericho. March around the city. See what I'm saying? We have to get specific instructions on each of our daily situations, our encounters in life. We have to seek God on what to do.
But, Ms. Stevie, that's the problem. We don't seek God. We do what we want.
Right. And then we ask God to bless what we're doing.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. So here it says that the word foolishness was, it denotes the stupidity that arises from deadness and impotence of intellect. It means lacking in the power of perception or unwise. See that? It refers to one who does not reflect. So now that you're saved, now that you got the word, Eve and Adam, reflect. Mm-hmm. Here comes the devil, and he's put something before you, proposition before you, and he's trying to persuade you. But if you love your God and his word, reflect. Don't just act and respond based upon how you feel. See, this is why Paul called them foolish, because they had the truth, but now this evil influence has come in and it stopped you from obeying what? The truth.
Truth.
Who is the truth?
Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
So it says the word speaks of failure to use one's powers of perception. The Galatians, Paul says, were certainly not using their heads. The word is used when with an ethical reference as the faculty of moral judgment. Thus, the word indicates a failure to use one's powers of perception, and that failure being due to a moral defect. So, morally, Eve thought it was better to put her will above God's. See that?
Mm, yeah.
This is what disarms us. It's the same thing. The reason why the Galatians were foolish was because they listened to the Judaizers and they added to salvation. And so these people convinced them that these Judaizers had more knowledge and understanding than what the word, what Paul had relayed through the preaching of the cross. So the moral defect was they thought they knew better. They trusted in a source that they thought was better than the cross. It says the Galatian defection was not due to any fickleness of the Gauls. They are not prominent. That's what the Galatians were called, Gauls. Paul sends this stinging rebuke, therefore, O Galatians, who fail in the first characteristics of the Galatians, namely the ability to use their heads and to appreciate the finer values of life. This same thing happens to us daily. The enemy will present to us an issue and a problem, and it will try to get us to fix that problem based upon our own strength, our own ability, or whatever wisdom outside of the mind and the will of God.
Amen.
You see this? And so here he says, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He preached the message of the cross. So now let's jump over to 2 Corinthians 11. Any questions while we're going?
Second
Corinthians 11, and we'll start at verse two.
Okay. Let me get that.
Okay, no problem. I just wanted
verse
to
one.
See verse two.
Okay. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chastened virgin to Christ.
All right. So Paul's saying then this jealousy is a godly jealousy, because why? He espoused them to one husband.
Mm-hmm.
So their affection should only be to Christ. But they're
mm-hmm.
being pulled away. See? Here comes a bewitching. He needs to present each of us, each of us has to be presented to God as a chaste virgin without spot or wrinkle, meaning our loyalty has to be to Christ alone. Our focus and object of faith can't be my intellect, my church, my ministry, my titles, my position. It has to be to him and him alone.
Yes.
Now, loyalty to Christ means that when man interferes, you have to stand loyal to Christ in his way.
Yes.
Okay? And so it means that you cannot let anything or anyone pull you away. That's why Paul says, who has bewitched you? There's going to be a who that's dressed up religiously. There's going to be a who that's dressed up as family and friends, whatever the influence is. Your loyalty to Christ has to be greater than any relationship that you and I establish. Meaning, it's not saying that you can't have relationships, but we have to put Christ first in every relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And whatever interferes with your relationship with Christ, you have to be willing, you know, you can't let it interfere. You have to love him more than whatever it is that's trying to pull you away from him.
Amen.
So let's keep going. And this is what's happening. Keep going, verse 3.
But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Now, Satan has a strategy, and that's what subtlety is. It's the strategy of Satan. There is a strategy in this world system. The same strategy, see, Satan never changes. We change because each generation you get new people, you know, through the years. So his strategy is subtle. It comes in, and he comes in to affect what? Your mind. See that? Satan wants to affect your mind. And so if he can affect the mind, this is where we can be paralyzed, or we can stand and do the will of God. This is where we will stand still, or we will go forward in the things of God. Okay? It starts in the mind, okay? And sometimes if the mind ain't willing to go, we ain't going to go.
Mm-hmm.
See, so this is why he says it has to be a transfer, be transformed through the renewing of your mind, your heart. See, there has to be a conversion there. And if there's not a conversion there, I don't care. This is why everybody's going to religious activities and works. We're just going with the flow of who's in charge of the mind and the heart. So if you're trying, and you said it earlier, Sister Cherry, if you're trying to comprehend God and work, live for God based upon your own, your old disposition, which is the nature you were, the bent towards wrongdoing, the old man,
mm-hmm.
trying to live for God, and that old man or that flesh has not been crucified or made to submit to the way of the cross, you're gonna be led in a path that looks spiritual, but it's not.
Right.
So Satan will take advantage of that. It says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled. It's almost sort of like a same bewitching, a beguiling. And who does Satan use? He used the serpent in the garden, but he used people. He can use anything. It's something to seduce you wholly. It's something to deceive. The Bible says that when we reject truth, God hands us over to deception, to believe the lie. So when I reject Christ as truth, immediately there's a willful blindness, and immediately I will walk in deception. I'll think I'm holy, just, and right,
mm-hmm.
but I'll be walking in the step of Satan. I'll be a sheep walking in the herd of Satan. See, because you can have Christ as your shepherd, or you can be led by the spirit of this world and this age, which is Satan. So beguile, it means to seduce you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. This is what happened here. He says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be what? Corrupted, right?
Yeah.
Satan comes to corrupt our minds. He does not want us to change. He does not want us to be transformed through a renewal. He wants you to be a Christian, say you're a Christian, but there's no, he wants your thoughts, your opinions, your precepts, your purposes, your motives, all that stuff to stay the same. So get saved, but don't change.
Don't change.
See, this is what the cross does. The cross says, I saved you, now you're qualified to be changed. And God expects this to happen right away. Every day I have to surrender and I have to yield to his way. So the word mind is a mental perception. It's a thought. It's a purpose. That which thinks. It's the mind, it's the thoughts, or the purposes. So whatever purposes that I have, Satan wants to corrupt it and make me think that I'm walking in the right way when I'm actually using my own natural thought process. I'm using my own ability and my own strength according to the ways of the world system, that which I came out of. All I did was just dress it up. All I did was just gave it a title and a position in church. But I'm still the same person going after the ways of the world system. That makes sense?
Yes.
So it means to cause whoever is devising evil against Christ to desist from his purpose and submit himself to Christ. This is what God wants to do. Whatever, see, if I'm devising evil against God, he wants me to desist from my own purposes and submit to God's purposes.
Amen.
This is the whole salvation experience. But Satan doesn't want that. So what did he do? He stopped Eve through his strategy. So her mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. Simplicity is just simply singleness of purpose, having one purpose. Satan wants us to be a duplicity. He wants us to be double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be lukewarm. You're not hot, you're not cold. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He wants you. He don't want you to stand up for what's right and true. He wants you to be a double-minded person. One minute, hey, oh, I love you, Lord, and then you over here supporting this over here that's contrary to God. See, he doesn't want you to have a singleness of purpose. For God I live and for God I die. I stand for truth. I stand for what's right according to God's word. And if the world hates it, so be it. They hated Christ. I'm not going to be pulled into this thing and this trap of being a victim and focused on racism. No, because God loved the world. He wasn't concerned about a race. He was concerned about a world that he died for all men. And so if I get caught up in the trap of fighting about a race, then guess what I can't do as a Christian? Win the world. I'm more focused about my race and my color and this and that. That's not what it's about. We're focused about saving a world. Y'all understand? So he says, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I know it gets hard. I know the world system caves in on us and it presents all these issues that we see in the world that seems of so, you know, much concern. But if the hearts are not affected, none of these issues, I don't care if you stand for BLM, I don't care if you stand for whatever it is, you will never affect a person based upon skin color. You can't. It's the heart of all men. Because just in one race you find some fault, you're going to find that same fault in another. And what we'll end up doing is fighting all our lives for social justice. Social justice warrior. That's not our fight. Our fight is for justice to be for all. And the only one way that justice can be for all is if the heart has been broken by the Spirit of God and each one see themselves in need of a Savior. This is what we're after. We're after the hearts of men. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what political party they are. Because we are for what's right, for what's true according to God's word. In the time of the Bible, they were offering child sacrifices. Moloch, bringing the child, they will burn this, they will heat this statue up. The statue's arm will be held out, and they will put the babies, drop babies there on that burning, hot, whatever it was, statue, and those babies would be offered as sacrifices to a god, Molech. Israel got caught up in the same thing. They worshiped Chemosh. God said, come here, Ezekiel, let me show you what they're doing behind this temple. They were doing the same things of the world. What am I saying? This industry of abortion, they're not concerned about people's lives. It's about supporting an industry where they sell body parts. Look, it's right there. We cannot be so caught up in our minds that we stop thinking that the enemy causes us not to see what's happening in the world system. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Christ stood against. He stood up for what was right. He got crucified for it. What am I saying? When it comes to the kingdom of God and the world system, Shadrach and Meshach said what? O king, we cannot bow to that image. Throw us in the fire. That was a threat. But their loyalty was to the word of God. You see that? They did not bow to that statue. They did not bow to what the world system presented to them. And if they got thrown in the fire, so be it. They said, if he wants to deliver us, he will. If not, we perish. But guess what? We die and we'll be in his presence.
Amen.
So he says in verse 4, let's keep going. So any questions, comments? Verse 4 says, Jerry.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Okay. So now we see here, he's saying, Paul says, this is why or how they're being beguiled. This is why the minds are being corrupted. Why? Because they received another Jesus. Somebody came preaching another Jesus. But it wasn't the Jesus that Paul preached, as he told the Galatians, who bewitched you? I preached the cross as Jesus Christ was set forth, crucified among you. That's not the spirit. These people did not come preaching that same spirit. So they preached another Jesus. It was a Jesus who was not of the cross. So they may have said Jesus the healer, Jesus the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, Jesus the miracle worker. But they didn't teach redemption through Jesus Christ, having faith in Christ and his atonement at Calvary. So they preached another Jesus, one of another kind, but it wasn't Jesus. That's what that another Jesus is, one of another kind. And they preach, and then he said, or if you receive another spirit, which is produced by preaching another Jesus. This is what Simon Barjona, if you look in the book of Acts, you will see different every city that Paul and them went to, they had the church, the first church was persecuted all throughout in the book of Acts. But the persecution caused the word of God to scatter. Didn't necessarily say the church grew and got big. In some instances it did, but it said the word scattered. See, oftentimes it takes the persecution to keep us on our knees, to keep us in the face of God, to keep us seeking God. And we'll look at the persecution or what's happening, the bad things, like it's just happening and Satan's just winning. But actually God is using it to keep the believer in the face of God.
Amen.
That's the only way, because when the blessings are coming, we sit back, we get comfortable, we get fat, we get lazy. And we will not stay in God's face and be disciplined and seek him and on fire. So when the first church, Paul and them, they encountered this guy, and I forgot his name, Barjona, I think it was. But anyway, he was there in a city, and this city they came in with, and they came preaching the gospel, and there was a governor there, and the governor was attached to this guy who was a sorcerer. Okay? And Paul then wanted to preach the gospel, and he was preventing them from getting to the governor. You see what I'm saying? This is why you and I have to be spirit-led and spirit-filled, because there are spirits attached to people in positions of authority in the government, on the state level, in the city level. It doesn't matter. And you and I have to see things for what they are. We can't just get caught up in the personality of people. We got to see what's happening. They noticed that this guy who had this spirit on him, who was a sorcerer, was attached. He was like the right-hand man of the governor. And he, when he found out Paul and them was coming to the city, he tried to, they requested to speak to the governor, but he tried to stop it. See what I'm saying? The fight is against the spirit at work, not necessarily the people, but it's a spirit at work, and we have to reprove it. We have to expose it. We have to call it out, because if you don't, and we have to pray that God can open doors and opportunities, because if the hearts of these people in certain positions don't change, they could give us laws that are detrimental to a nation and prevent the gospel from reaching people in that city, state, or nation. There are a lot of people who come preaching a Jesus, another Jesus, let's put it that way, and they got another spirit, and they got another gospel. So receiving truth, Christ as truth, will open your eyes. Remember, he says, and he said to the Jews that believe, if you continue, see, continuing in the word of God, you shall know something, and you can only know, you can be only be free as much as you come to know. So it's what you know that causes you to become free, what you know. The truth that you come to know is what makes you free. If you never come, you get saved, and you never come to know or understand truth, as in Christ, you can't be free. So you'll fall for another Jesus. You'll fall for another spirit and another gospel. And you'll think it's of God. That's what they thought about Simon the sorcerer. Then another encounter, Paul, they were preaching in a city, and God had sent them out, see, to the western part, over in Rome or what have you. And this girl followed them. These men are the men of the Most High God. Oh, she every day she kept saying, until the Spirit of God revealed what spirit she was of. And Paul them cast it out. When they cast the spirit out, this woman caused the people in that city to make much money, great money. And so they were mad, and they came against Paul and them, and they beat them. They beat them to the point of almost death, and then locked them up in prison. What am I saying? You and I will enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. But it's not going to sway you, because you and I, when we receive truth and are built up and are changed and transformed in our mind and our thinking, all it does is the tribulation is going to give you more and more strength. It's going to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. And you will not fall as a victim. You will come out victorious.
Yes.
Y'all understand? Our lives are in his hands, and we are here to accomplish what he called us to accomplish. We're not focused on the negatives that happen in our life, but we're to focus on him, and he promises to supply all our needs. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see how much time I got. Any questions or comments before we go further? Now, let's see what happens in John chapter 8. Sister Cherry, I got y'all doing some finger exercises. I'm going to go back to verse 30, because I think I stopped there a couple of weeks before, but I didn't get to make the point I was trying to make. Now, to tie all this together, the people who are seduced or fall for or beguiled or bewitched are the people who refuse to see themselves as they really are. It's the people who refuse to let God, who are not real with God and not admit the who and what they are, when we fail, when we fall short, what areas. If the word of God is trying to work on us and reveal something to us in the secret place, we must be honest with the word, with him, through the Word of God, and we must allow the Word of God to correct. If I find myself getting upset and angry and defensive, then there's some area that, of my life that I must let the Spirit be real with the Spirit about, okay? So in John 8, I'm just going to start at verse 30 again, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
You guys are here.
Mm-hmm. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
Now add that if on there, because that's a big condition.
Oh, yeah, if then.
If
ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
So that means we have to believe all the word,
mm-hmm.
right? And believing has to be daily. It has to be a continue. Every day is an opportunity to believe. Every day, y'all said it, so much stuff going on in the world, but he said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then guess what God, he's going to do? He's going to make you a disciple in reality. So we're not just going to say I'm a Christian. We're going to be a Christian, even in the most difficult of situations, even with death all around us.
Amen.
See? And what happens, because remember, he's looking for a good and faithful servant. He's looking for those good. He says that's what he's looking for, the good and faithful. He wants us to be faithful, just like Job was faithful, even in the midst of all that he endured. So what happens? The word indeed means in reality. So it's not just going to church and the religious activities. He wants me to love the way he loves. This love has to be placed in us. It's not naturally in anybody.
Right.
It has to, the agapeo love has to be placed into us. This is why he asked Peter. See, Peter walked with him 3.5 years, and the agape love was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So after the Spirit came upon him, it still wasn't there. Okay? So, I mean, when Christ blew on them in John, the last chapter, it still wasn't. It has to be exercised. It has to be placed in us as we yield by faith.
Amen.
So this is what Christ wants. As I keep looking and believing in the cross of Christ every day. Every day is an opportunity. Every day there are situations that happen, and I must continue in the word, not continue in trying to prove that I'm right, not continue trying to vindicate myself, not continue trying to prove that I'm the great deacon, doctor, reverend, what have you.
Amen.
Continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed or in reality? And what happened? Verse 32.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So knowing Christ as truth, knowing him, that word know means to know through experience. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for you and I to experience Christ as truth. In any given situation, he is the truth, and he's there to open us up to all truths and to lead us by way of the Spirit.
Amen.
And this truth that you and I come to know is what will make you and I free.
Yes.
Okay? Freedom doesn't just happen.
Amen.
Just because I'm a Christian.
Nope.
It's based upon the truth. If you continue in the word, and you will then know truth through experience, and truth will do something. It'll be activated by faith, and the Spirit of God is going to make you free. Now, notice their response. Look at their response.
They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?
Okay, now notice here, he says their response is that they, see, this shows where their faith was. Their faith was in the fact that they were Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
So because their faith was in being of the lineage of Abraham, they put their trust in that, they couldn't see the bondages.
Wow.
And it's the same today. If I put my trust in the fact that I go to church and I'm a member of this and I do read my Bible and I pay my tithes and I'm faithful, loyal, and I do this and I whatever, you will think you're not in bondage. I see it all the time. A lot of people in church are the hardest ones to get to see themselves as they really are.
Amen.
A lot of people that are religious, or a lot of people that do good things, religious things, or what have you, we can't see our bondages because we're blinded by the works. Whatever it is we're putting our focus in. Their focus was Abraham, being Abraham's seed. Paul's focus was that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. You see, we all have many things that's in our way of keeping us from seeing ourselves as we really are. Isaiah's problem was that they looked to King Uzziah. But when Uzziah died, then and only then could Isaiah see the Lord high and lifted up. It's the same with us. There are some things in our lives that's high and lifted up that's preventing us from seeing the bondages. We may say, I don't drink, smoke, curse, but it's normally, though, it's not those things. The bondages are the sin nature, the things that we rely on could be good things.
Mm-hmm.
Nice thing. I'm a good person, nice person. I don't do this, I don't do that. And they're the very things that have crept in and caused us to be prideful and resist the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See that?
Jesus.
And on that note, I'm going to have to close because I think, yep, my time is up. So the point, the reason why I went there is to show that if we're not careful and we're not allowing truth to make us free, then we set ourselves up to be bewitched and beguiled, and we can be deceived by Satan easily, because Satan will present himself as an angel of light. And not only will he present himself as an angel of light, he will present himself by being another Jesus. And another spirit using another gospel.
Amen.
And it's very hard to see. If you're not being made free from your bondages, you won't be able to see what God made you free from. See, the only way to see clearly, see, darkness is just simply when I have an exalted or an abundance of my own opinions, my own motives and desires apart from the spirit of God. That's darkness. But when God sets me free, you see, the bondage is now I'm moving closer towards the light of the gospel. I'm being made free. And so guess what? I can see darkness in the world and in other people because he set me free from it. I recognize it. If I'm not being made free, then I'm a part of it, of darkness. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When the Lord sets you free, just like that blind man, when he was set, he knew what darkness was. But when God set him free, he came into a whole different concept of light. And he didn't want to go back. He wanted to cleave to him. Lord, let me follow you. When the demoniac was changed and he was in the garden, he was in the tombs and all that stuff, Lord, let me follow you. When people are set free from something, they will easily spot it and recognize what God delivered them from in others. Not to be critical nor judgmental, but to now pray for them and see the very things that they stand in need of. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is why we have to let God set us free from the darkness so that we can come to the light, so that our deeds be exposed, that they are wrought by God. And on that note, I'm going to close. But those on the line, hold on, and we'll take questions and comments. I pray we said some things tonight that will strengthen you in your walk and that will free you from any bondages so that God can give you the insight to know what it is the enemy is doing. There are some things that the world system presents to us as true, and it's really not true. God will give you the wisdom and the insight on what to do and how to do it in the season that you're in. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.